Do you know that if you stand on the Mount of Olives, looking at the walled city of Jerusalem, you're very well taken by the image at the center of the wall. And all the pictures that you've seen, there's the Dome of the Rock, and of course, the wall. Now, in the center of the wall, which, by the way, that wall was built by the Turks upon what was left of the original wall that had been destroyed, there's a double portal. You'll see two, like, shapes, and that is called the Golden Gate, or the Peace Gate. In 2000, the ground near this gate collapsed, revealing the ancient gate directly below, and showed the true history of the city of Jerusalem. In the first century, by the way, there was a stone bridge going across the Kidron Valley, leading from the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives over to the Golden Gate. Tradition said that this was probably where Jesus entered the city on several occasions, like Maundy Thursday, when he left the city and went to the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane, but especially on Palm Sunday for his triumphant entry, riding on the colt of a donkey from Bethany, which was on the Mount of Olives, to the city. The current Golden Gate has been walled up. You won't see an opening. You'll see both parts walled up and closed because traditions and prophecies say that the Messiah will enter Jerusalem through that very gate. The Turks and the Muslims sealed it up so that the Messiah could not enter through it. Well, I'd say they're just a little late because he's already gone through it. And if he came, when he comes today, you think that some stones are going to stop him? He's already gone out of a grave with a large stone closing it. Well, a few stone blocks this time are not going to stop him. The Messiah and the Anointed One of God are one and the same. Triumphantly entered the gates of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to the cries of Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai. You're saying to yourself, what's Father John talking about? That's blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But they heard those words, Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai. And the word Adonai, of course, means Lord. And in the New Testament, Lord is Jesus. In today's Holy Gospel reading, Jesus grieves over the failure of the people of Israel to listen to the call of God on their lives. And Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Jesus goes on to say, look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Now the desolate house that Jesus spoke of was the destruction of the temple. And of course, the total destruction of everything in Jerusalem that happened by 70 AD. God spoke through the prophets time and time again to the people of Israel with his message of salvation and his message of love. Every time, the people would not listen. They apparently couldn't believe that God could love them that much. The prophets came, they told the people of the love that God had, they told them to turn from their evil ways, to obey God, to gather under his love. But they wouldn't. As a matter of fact, they killed the prophets. God tried over and over again, but the people turned a deaf ear to him. So then God decided that if the people wouldn't listen to his messengers, then he would come directly to earth to speak to them himself. Some people listened, but many more did not. They apparently could not understand such love, and they could not accept such willingness on the part of God himself to love them, and they fought against it. Each time God called to his people, they had a hard time believing that God didn't want something from them in return, but that he only wanted to give them something, his blessings, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, and most importantly, himself. It's so sad that the Jewish people of Jesus' day did not listen to the call of God. How much more sad it is today for those who, despite knowing the whole story, still will not hear the call of God on their lives, their eternal lives. God's calling all of us to hear his word, his holy word, that frees us from selfishness, that frees us from letting our culture dictate to us, that frees us from following the way of our neighbors. He frees us from all of that so we might follow him, so that we might live in his love and accept his forgiveness, accept his mercy, all because of the sacrifice of his son, Jesus of Nazareth, the sacrifice that he made on our behalf on the cross at Calvary. God calls us to let him lead us through life's journey. On Palm Sunday, as I relayed earlier, Jesus rode down the Mount of Olives and into Jerusalem on the back of a young donkey, a colt, in fulfillment of the words of the prophet Zechariah. Your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. On that Sunday, Jesus rode to the hosannas, to the celebration, the joy and the delight of the people. But it couldn't even last 1 week. Every Sunday, we echo the words of the people of Jerusalem as we sing the Sanctus, singing Hosanna, and the words, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Then we finish with Hosanna in the highest. Now, the term Hosanna is a Hebrew word that mixes exuberant praise to Almighty God with a prayer for God to save his people, and right now. The chant of Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord brings to mind Psalm 118, 24 to 26. You know, as I was putting together this sermon and the readings that we heard earlier, I can't help but think, my goodness, how God was telling his people that he knew what was coming, and was telling them throughout. God prophesied to, in Genesis, God prophesied to Abram. He had not become Abraham, but he prophesied to him about the fact that he would be a father, and it was not going to be from his servant. It was going to be from his own body and his wife's. And then the prophecy that Zechariah gave, that Isaiah gave, he was constantly warning his people that he was sending someone who was going to save them. That psalm, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. It was God himself who gave those words to David. Back in the Old Testament, the Son of Man had come to the holy city of God, the place called the City of David, and was recognized as king. But they're not ready to have that kind of king. And that's why it didn't last a whole week. They were expecting a deliverer riding in on a white horse and not a donkey, a conqueror, and not at all expecting what was before them. The event of that coming week, when this king would radically redefine kingship and royalty, which was a model for royalty that neither Israel nor the rest of the world was used to or ready for. The people, with their chanting and waving of palm branches, were conferring kingship in the line of the house of David on Jesus, and in less than 6 days, he would receive a crown, but it was a crown of thorns. These next famous words from Jesus are recorded in both Luke 13 and in Matthew 23, 36 to 39. They reflect the frustration of a parent who wants to protect his children. Like a mother hen would, if a tragedy or fire took place, gathering her chicks and doing everything to protect them, even to give her life to save the chicks. Jesus, unfortunately, would be abandoned by his chicks, his very own people. Then he cried out, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And then I can't help but thinking how blessed we are, because we can see with remarkable clarity what Jesus' journey to Jerusalem is going to mean. Israel's greatest crisis is coming, and Jesus is offering an urgent summons to repent, to listen to his message of love, of mercy, of forgiveness, and of peace. This is the only way for Jerusalem and for the world to avoid the disaster that would come because of persistent rebellion. Jerusalem would be wiped out, and the Jews would be scattered all over the world. Jesus' intention now is to go to Jerusalem and, like the hen and her chickens, to take upon himself the full force of that disaster which he was predicting for the nation and the temple. So Jesus sacrifices himself for the many that he tries to gather to himself. And they will not see him again until later, when the world would recognize him and understand, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai."